This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Ping.fm, and Upsnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Life Enhancement Medicine Hour, leading you down the road to optimal living with Dr. Kevin Wallace and Dr. Zahara Sundermeyer. The doctors will focus on the foundations of health and newfound therapies you may not even know existed. Come join us on the path to your optimal life. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Kevin and Dr. Zahara.
What's up, everybody?
Happy Thursday. Well, this is Monday, but it will be Thursday.
I know, exactly. The advances of modern technology.
I know. We're taking advantage of doing a pre-recording today because schedules have gotten a little crazy and yay New Year's, right? And yeah. So you'll be hearing us and we're just making sure that we're taking care of you all through our radio show here.
So thank you all of our listeners. So people that listen to the podcast, they get the word out, especially in regards to peptides. So they give us calls and then we actually get to treat them as patients and help them achieve whatever goals they have in life, especially for 2020 that everybody, they always make New Year's resolutions. And so we just try to help people out maybe 60%.
60%. What's your New Year's resolution this year, Dr. Wallace?
Mine is to be more present.
And, I like that one.
I know. I do too. So more present and more calm.
Oh, I like that one too.
Yeah, I know. It's not like we live together.
No, not at all.
So it's not like I'm a raging maniac, but just more calm, just letting things happen. Okay. Not freaking out. You know, we preach life enhancement. So one of the things in life enhancement is to allow the things to affect you that you might have a little control over, great things you don't have control over, just roll with it, baby.
Yeah. You know? No, I think that's a really good point. I think that's actually going to be a really good point in today's talk as we move forward, but I think there's so many things that we try and we've become so type A, wouldn't you say? Or, you know, we have to have everything in our place. And I am definitely that individual. I like to have everything in its place. Just learning how to breathe through things instead of feeling like you have to have control is probably a really great resolution.
Yeah. So, you know, some of the things, calm breathing, doing stuff you don't have to spend a whole lot of money on. I got the punching bag in the back. So, you know, I always tell people in regards to when they see me as patients, meditation. And I think they take that as you're just supposed to sit Indian style and say hymns or whatever. And it's like, if that works for you, it's good. But my meditation is physical. So if I'm going on the basketball court, if I'm wasting energy, such a thing. So I tell people, it's like, it doesn't have to be being quiet per se, even though that's advisable sometimes. It could be a walk, the ride the bike really fast. I'm going to go for a quick jog, whatever your meditation is that makes you feel good. In that regards is what meditation means to me. So we adapt and we modify whatever kind of programs are out there to handle what you have as a focus of your health. So
absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think that's a fantastic, fantastic statement. And I hope everyone is following through on their New Year's resolutions, because of course this is, one of those things we all start off with good intentions, and about 2 weeks in, I think most of the people have released all desire to care about their New Year's resolutions. And so I did make a post on my Instagram about, like, you know, this year for New Year's resolution, just, you know, eat more vegetables.
Oh, yeah.
Make it easy on yourself. Drink more water. Spend more time outdoors. Like, pick one thing. A lot of people do this whole, I'm going to lose, you know, 30 to 50 pounds, which I think is a really hard number to give initially. But I mean, if you can start with one simple thing, like I'm going to sleep 8 hours every night, I think you're going to be that much better off to take care of yourself.
Yeah. And you're going to lose weight. You know, if they look at studies about, you know, sleep deprivation and weight loss, if you only sleep 4 to 5 hours a night, you're not going to lose as much weight.
Correct.
So if you lose 1 pound a week for 52 weeks, that's 52 pounds.
And that's going to make everybody's pants fit that much better.
Yeah. If I did that, Yeah, I'd probably be at the bantamweight. I'd be in boxing at bantamweight.
I don't know what that means, but it's probably too light for me.
Yes, for all the boxing fans out there. So today, I think we're starting off in regards to female hormones. So before we get started, obviously this is, you know, Infusion Health, Life Enhanced Medicine. I'm Dr. Wallace.
And I'm Dr. Sundermeyer.
And we have our new website, which should be coming up in the next, hopefully, couple of days in regards
to data. We've done some edits on it. It looks so pretty. Is that a good way to describe a website? It looks so pretty.
It does.
Love it. It looks great, though. We've edited a couple things. We're trying to get our store online. Lo and behold, putting a store on a website is apparently very difficult per our IT guy. But, you know, that's the one thing that's been taking a lot longer than we've anticipated, because we've talked about this a couple times. But soon enough, infusionhealth.org will also be integrativetelemedicine.com. And I'm so excited for that, because that really is pushing the envelope of a lot of what these talks are about, is appointments via telemedicine from the comfort of your own home or in your office. Or I had an appointment today with a woman who was in her van waiting for her kids. Like, so it works out so perfectly. And this is like the second or third appointment I've had with her. You know, she takes her kids to different, a community college for some advanced classes. And so she just sits there while they're in school instead of driving all the way home and all the way back, because it's a bit of a distance. So, like, you should be out walking. That's what I told. That's what you need.
So you get fantastic, highly trained physicians like myself and Dr. Sundermeyer, and you don't have to go ahead and worry about the waiting room and sick people and all those other things. So we always try to promote telemedicine, and just to show you the ease of what telemedicine is, it's like we're speaking to you right now, and hopefully you're watching this podcast, or you will on Thursday. That's how we get to see you and talk to you.
We do them.
I try to wear my wig. I have the Elvis Presley bouffant wig.
Perfect.
Or what's the new things on like when you're sitting on Instagram, they have the pictures now that you can go ahead and do it, so it looks like you have sunglasses on.
The filters. Yes, the very fancy filters.
Yeah, when I was coming back from California back here to Tucson, which it is not sunny today.
It is not. It decided to rain. Dr. Wallace brought the rain. It was fantastic.
All right.
Well, today's show is actually really exciting. We're going to kind of take our conversation on hormone imbalance, and we're going to take it into the next step into what is called perimenopause and, of course, menopause, and what type of symptoms a lot of people experience when it comes to perimenopause. And it's really important, I would say, that women realize that perimenopause is this period 5 to 10 years, some women even more time, before menopause actually takes place, where their hormones start to change.
Correct.
That's what today's show is all about. So if you're anywhere from 38 through your 40s and even into your early 50s, that is kind of where you are at this point. It's called perimenopause. And that is what today's show is going to be all about. Both myself and Dr. Wallace work with women every day that are dealing with perimenopause symptoms, especially as we move into our 40s. And I think it's really important that we understand that this is not a time of medication management. This is a time of how do we support our hormones and the changings within the hormones, right?
Correct. Yep. And I might add, it's like, I think it starts early and earlier that if at the age of 2, you've had stress your whole life.
True.
Correct. So when Dr. Sundermeyer says like 40, I mean, we can have low hormones or fluctuating hormones from our late 20s and 30s. And so we technically maybe not call that perimenopause, but we definitely have hormonal imbalance just because of stress and the adrenal response and limiting hormones.
Correct.
So we see everybody in regards to hormones, but this is specifically, I guess, more geared towards that. So,
yeah. Well, and I think it's interesting because if you consider what you just said, Dr. Wallace, is that if you've had stress, say you decided that you were going to be a lawyer or a physician, for instance, something that, you know, just took a lot out of you. And you were through stress through all of your 20s due to undergrad and med school and then residency or internships or fellowships or being a lawyer trying to make partner at a law firm, you know, from the time that you're 26, 27 on. Women that are in that situation actually tend to go through a more difficult menses and then, of course, mm-hmm. perimenopause because of stress, right?
Yep.
So our lovely stress hormone cortisol has this lovely propensity to steal from our upper hormone pathways like progesterone, like DHEA, like pregnenolone, all those lovely guys, and build cortisol. Mm-hmm. Because who cares if you can reproduce and who cares if you're not, you know, anxious and who cares if your blood pressure is controlled, but you can't manage your stress, right?
Correct.
We need that for survival. So
yeah.
That actually makes for a much, I would say, a much more difficult perimenopause time frame.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing I will say is usually you can call into the show, but because this is a pre-recording, you can definitely email us at info@infusionhealth.org, or you can private message us on Instagram at infusion_health. Again, that's infusion_health. So don't hesitate to private message us if you have questions about our show today. So let's talk about perimenopause.
Yeah. So when you have a female coming on in and you see then that they filled out the female intake and you see all of the low numbers. So obviously when people contact us and then we send like male or female intake and it's like, you know, moderate, mild, heavy, or, you know, extremely high or pulling your hair out. And it's like, when you look at it, you can somewhat guesstimate that they have hormonal issues, and it's usually always relegated to high cortisol, low estrogen, high androgens, possibly. In that regard. So how do you go ahead and when you see someone, what kind of things are you looking for, Dr. Sotomayor?
Well, obviously what I think the biggest thing is that we're trying to figure out is what is going on with their menstrual cycles. I mean, that's the biggest thing, because a big part of perimenopause is menstrual cycle variability. And that means that your menstrual cycles are no longer 28 days consistently. Now they're 40 days. Now they're 20 days. I have women that go on both ends, and sometimes they're both. Sometimes I have a menstrual cycle every 2 weeks, and now sometimes I have a menstrual cycle every 2 months. Mm-hmm. So we talk about menstrual cycles because we're trying to figure out where are all the changes taking place, because if it's happening and we're attributing a lot of the symptoms that a person is experiencing to perimenopause, we're trying to figure out, is it cyclical? Are your mood variations cyclical, meaning they occur for a part of the month and then you start a period, or they occur for a part of the month and then, you know, you ovulate, right? Mm-hmm. So we're trying to figure out, are the symptoms cyclical? Because commonly if it's hormone, it's cyclical, mm-hmm. right? So we're thinking about things like premenstrual syndrome or PMS. And that is things like, you know, insomnia, we're thinking anxiety, we're thinking, you know, noting changes in just the flow of the menstrual cycle itself. Has it become excessively heavy? Are you having flooded pads now where you can't keep up and you're using a pad and a tampon and you're still having accidents? And that happens so much more frequently than a lot of people want to admit, but because, because it's embarrassing. I mean, nobody wants to be like, yeah, so I just, you know, bled through my pad and onto my pants. That's not a fun conversation to have, but those are the conversations that I want to know about when it comes to perimenopause with my patients, because it's going to tell me what's going on with your progesterone and what's going on with your estrogen. Mm-hmm. And perimenopause does tend to be a time of estrogen dominance, where there's so much estrogen lying around and there's not enough progesterone to manage it. And that can be in so many different ways. I mean, it could be high estrogen, normal progesterone. It could be normal estrogen, no progesterone, right?
Correct.
Or in contrast, it could be really high estrogen, really low progesterone. And that's always the flooding conversations. Those are always those big accident conversations. But this is those times when you go to your primary and they go, oh, well, we can put you on birth control.
Correct.
Or, oh, we can put you on an SSRI. The big one is Effexor,
mm-hmm.
that they like to use during this time.
Mm-hmm.
But this is kind of, those are kind of the things that I'm starting to look for when I'm thinking perimenopause. Is it comes and it goes, it's ebbing and flowing. Sometimes mm-hmm. you'll feel great, and other times you're going to just feel horrid.
Correct. Right? Yep. Well, I agree. And so I must say, when they go to, because obviously as naturopaths, there's obviously MDs that believe in more natural as well, balancing hormones.
Correct. So when yeah.
you say you go to, you know, your primary, it's usually a conventional primary therapy. Because mm-hmm. when we see people that really know endocrinology and they're more functional in the MD realm, in that regards, then they do the same kind of things that we do. It's just that they have one tool in the toolbox.
Correct.
It's usually just, here is a, you know, a synthetic, or here is a birth control, and this should do it. And so they're not looking at the totality of things that obviously Dr. Sundermeyer and I talk about. And so other contributing factors that obviously Dr. Sundermeyer will go more into is obviously nutrition and exercise mm-hmm. and sleep and obviously stress. So can you expound on those things? So in seeing so many women that you have, it's like, kind of just give us the typical female in regards to what you see in today's society. Like, they come in and
they're overworked. They don't sleep, and they haven't spent a day on themselves in months. That's kind of the biggest issue. I would say that it kind of goes back to that idea of, what did you say? You're going to be more present.
Correct.
I have so many patients that are so, hellbent on making sure that they're doing everything to the tens, basically, that they haven't spent a day to get themselves a massage. They haven't gone to, they haven't slept in, like, because they're, one, they might not be sleeping, but two, because they have too much to do, that sleep is not as important anymore, which is probably the worst thing that you can do for your entire system, right? Mm-hmm. And so those tend to be, those are things that I, you know, I'm looking for and that I'm seeing, is, you know, just lack of care, that, or forgetting how to care is kind of maybe a way, you know, you're just too busy to pay attention. I have a patient who is a partner in a law firm. She's been a lawyer for 20 years and, she can't lose weight. She mm-hmm. cannot lose weight. She's been working with a trainer for 6 months. She's
correct.
Lost some weight. Enough to, like, where she feels like she's stronger, but not enough where, you know, she still has a very large cortisol driven belly. She's the very classic idea of an apple shaped woman. And she's, you know, she's been clean eating. She has been managing her exercise. She's been exercising 4 times a week. And again, with a trainer. And I basically said, I don't want you working out at all. You look, and you know, that's the baffling statement during this time frame, is that women don't realize that the excess estrogen can mm-hmm. or sorry, excess exercise actually makes a lot of the weight issues worse.
Correct. Mm-hmm. It's like, if our body doesn't have the resources to handle the stress put forth to it, mm-hmm. then it's actually a detriment.
And we have to remember, exercise is also a stress.
Correct. Well, exactly. And so right? then, you know, teaching people that to lose weight, sometimes we have to go back to the foundation. And that's obvious. I think one of our first talks on the podcast,
yeah,
the
foundation. Absolutely.
It's like cleaning those things on up and utilizing basic principles of health mm-hmm. actually sometimes helps get rid of a lot of issues. But I think the biggest thing, like Dr. Sundermeyer said, was getting over the mental hurdle in regards to having them kind of buy into the system, buy into it, sit and say, really? You know, I mean, I do have to do these things, like, you know,
correct.
Eat and drink water and sleep. And it's like, no, it can't be that simple. It's like,
no, you know, and it's really quite amazing.
Yeah. It is quite amazing. It's like, you know, give me something, or, you know, those types of things. And so obviously we still do. So, okay. So if someone comes in and they have that, what kind of things are you looking for in regards to how you treat them in regards to labs, or how do you see them in regards to,
well, yeah, that's the biggest,
or just other symptoms, I should say.
Okay. Well, I mean, with labs, I think the biggest thing is understanding the best time to get the labs drawn. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be ideal if I could send you out for labs at any point in time, but if it's not the proper time to get the labs drawn, it can be, lack of information. It can be a pointless lab draw, right? Mm-hmm. I've had a lot of women come in where they've been put on a birth control, or they were put on a medication and told that it could be due to menopause symptoms, because that's always the word, you know, they use the word menopause. Oh, I'm in menopause. Well, not all of us are in menopause unless we're lacking menstrual cycles, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times, nobody will have even checked their estrogen and progesterone ratio.
Right.
And when I say estrogen, I always like to remind everybody there are three types of estrogen, and the primary one we're looking at is estradiol and estrone. So if you can make sure, I mean, the labs that you're going to want to look for are going to be estradiol and estrone and progesterone. But say, for instance, you get your labs drawn in the middle of your actual menstrual cycle, your progesterone estrogen ratio will be off because there's not a lot of progesterone present anyway during your menstrual cycle, right?
Correct.
So you have to make sure that you're getting labs done at the proper time. I've had a couple people come in and talk to me about their labs that they've had done with their primary, and their primary said there was nothing wrong. And I said, I always go, I love to see them because about 9 times out of 10, there's always something going on in the labs, but they're never looking at what phase of the menstrual cycle are you in when the labs were drawn. So I always ask them, do you know where you were within your menstrual cycle? Did your doctor tell you to go at a specific time of the menstrual cycle? And a classic statement that I always tell people, and probably said this at our last talk, was that if you have an average 28 to 30 day menstrual cycle, meaning menses and the full cycle in between, including ovulation and prepping for the menstrual cycle coming up, you should be going for labs on day 19 through 22 of the cycle, depending on your availability and whether it's a weekend or not.
Correct.
But if we do it now on day 14, we'll have no progesterone, we'll have a ton of estrogen, and we'll probably be ovulatory. So we'll see labs in a certain way that we're not wanting to look at them, because there are natural estrogen dominance through the menstrual cycle. And then there's the time when all the variability takes place. And that tends to be starting right after ovulation up until the day before, or even during the menstrual cycle. And that's when all these irregularities take place. That's when, you know, you get a little bit of that pre-menses spotting. Oh, I bleed for a week before I actually start my full flow.
Right.
And a lot of women, due to progesterone deficiency, or they bleed longer than 7 days. And that tends to be a big issue as well.
Correct.
So labs are definitely going to be key for me when we're first starting out trying to figure out what is truly the issue. Because I could give you all the progesterone I want, but what if your progesterone's perfect and it's the fact that your estrogen is over 500?
Correct. So I agree. So obviously there's different types of labs. It's like we can do blood labs.
Correct.
I think in some more of the complicated cases, obviously we can do saliva labs over a certain period over the whole. And
correct.
So you can really see
what's the going the ebbing and flowing.
The hormones. So again, it just all depends upon the expertise of the physician and what they see. So not one size fits all. You know, it's like it might be, well, we do this and then we do urine metabolites later on.
Correct.
To make sure that if we do have to put people on hormones or anything like that, that we can check some of these metabolites to make sure that your body is actually converting appropriately and making sure it actually shows that you are actually eating your vegetables and broccolis and cauliflowers and stuff like that.
It's a good tell, isn't it?
It is a very good tell, and they can't lie.
Yeah, well, but the cool thing about like urine tests and salivary tests is those tests are perfect for an individual that you know there's an adrenal component going on that might be the culprit of the progesterone thieving. That's the best way to say it. Like, you know, cortisol will take over that progesterone, that will pull it downstream more. It'll affect the estrogen progesterone ratio. And, you know, it's all because you're a full-time dentist and you haven't, you know, you work 60 hours a week. Or
then you got to go home and be a mom.
And then you got to go home and be a mom and make sure dinner is done and the house is ready. Or you're a single mom and, you know, you're a teacher, so you're responsible for a bunch of other kids, administrative work, all of that. So, we really try and take it case by case because not every person needs a saliva or a urine spot test to determine whether there's an adrenal presence. You can tell by the case itself. And that determines blood versus other types of labs.
And you can tell by, you know, actually putting your hands on the patient and testing reflexes and looking up pupillary reflexes and asking them if they startle easy.
Correct.
Those types of things. So you can go ahead and weed through some of the issues in regards to taking a good physical and just asking them the appropriate questions, which again, you know, you get in a sense of more of a naturopathic functional kind of component where we actually spend time with you. So that's correct. Where I think we get the benefit, and I think why we have better results, just because we actually spend more time with you.
Yeah, we get a better history. Yeah. And the more you can let someone tell you what's going on with them, the more you can actually understand the story.
Yeah.
And I think that's, there's a great saying, and I always forget it. Like, if you let them talk to you, they'll tell you what's wrong with them. And if you let them talk to you long enough, they'll tell you how to treat them. Something like that. But it's very, it's very intuitive, and it sounds so much better than I just prefaced. So I think I just sounded really intelligent there for a minute.
Well, you don't sound, you are very intelligent. Take it from me. All right. So other things that females come into your office for. So we have a big, long list here. So
a huge list of perimenopausal symptoms. Are you going to list them off?
So I want me to list them off. All
right.
You can either have one or none, or one or several of these. And so number one, hot flushes. And so obviously you're going along, you know, it's 20 degrees and it feels like you have to rip the covers off, or it feels like the turtleneck you wore, but these things can come in little 5-second increments.
Well, and it can also come in, I just feel hotter overall all day long. It's not, it doesn't have to be the full on, my brow is sweating and I just got really red and flush and I felt like my insides were burning for a minute. It could just be, I'm running a lot hotter more regularly. Like I'm, you know, it's 20 degrees outside and I just need a light sweater versus an actual, you know, winter coat. That tends to be a big statement that a lot of women say, I don't have the actual like full on flushing, but I'm hot.
Correct. And so I must give the caveat. What's like when I hear these things, or when a female comes in and then they go to their conventional sometimes and they go, well, it's just a sign of aging. I hate that. I hate that excuse more than anything else. It's like, well, we can, the part of life enhancement medicine is like, we're talking about perimenopause, but the life enhancement is to make sure that you can grow old gracefully your way, in regards to utilizing hormones appropriately and understanding the research about the safety and efficacy and utilizing hormones from an early age all the way up. And I think my oldest patient, I think, is in their 80s.
Mine too.
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine.
Correct.
Obviously, you have to do it appropriately. Night sweats goes along with some of the hot flushes.
Well, I think night sweats, the big one is a lot of dietary, like diet attributes to it. And the big thing about hot flashes and night sweats is the more stress you have, the worse they're going to be.
Correct.
So there are times when, you know, I'll have a consultation with a woman and they feel fantastic, and then their a family member gets sick or someone lost a job, and all of a sudden they don't know what happened. Nothing has changed. And all of their hot flashes come back in. You know, we try symptom support because that's really what you can do at that time. And then the goal is obviously trying to manage the stress. How can we help you manage the situation at hand versus going, oh, well, you just have to deal with it because that's what's happening.
Yeah. Well, in a perfect world, our hormones are not just for us to go ahead and for men to have an erection, for females to just ovulate and have a child. They run the show too. They run certain hormonal pathways and some biochemical pathways. So in a perfect world, and we're taking hormones, it means that's what they're doing. They're not having to stave off stress. So you're like Dr. Sundermeyer said, it's like, well, I'm doing fine. I have a huge stress event and now it feels like my hormones aren't working anymore. And it's like, well, your hormones are not going to make you feel vibrant. They're actually now trying to keep your body at homeostasis and keep everything at bay. And so when people come to me and it's like, well, let's do some other support. Or sometimes that's why they come in clickers. Or if we have to adjust certain things, like, well, go up for a little bit, for a week, whatever. Then we'll come back down. And that's the whole concept about being a physician that works with the client and making sure that we stay in communication.
Correct.
So I get this one frequently. So does Dr. Sundermeyer. So vaginal dryness. And so that is, you know, one always as a male talking to a female, which obviously females have confidence. So, you know, the tissue of the vaginal canal and the cervical tissue is very high receptors for estriol. And that's obviously one of the hormones. But obviously that plays an important role. But dehydration, improper use of fatty acids or no fatty acids, you know, our tissue.
That's the big ones, cholesterol. The conversation in cholesterol today is, you know, how high is your cholesterol and how many are you on a statin? Because I think people don't realize that that can attribute to the dryness or even climate changing. You know, you go from summer into winter, especially if you're in Arizona, for instance, and it's a hot summer and then it's a dry, cold winter, you get dry naturally because you're not getting the moisture your body needs. So all those cells need that fatty acid content.
Correct. Yeah. And so we need hydration. And again, so again, you know, the conventional medicine. So I've had two patients come in and their cholesterol is 140 and they're, you know, they're feeling very good. And they're like, wow, man, I'm fantastic. And I go, no, you're still going to have a heart attack. You're going to have a higher risk because as we age, our cholesterol actually is supposed to go up just a smidge. In that regard, and then you're still going to have dementia and, you know, Alzheimer's and all that stuff. So working with people, and then we have incontinence.
Right. So obviously that this tends to occur in women in a couple of different realms. It could either be after pregnancy and after birth. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously the tissue has been really stretched out and, you know, there could be some weaknesses involved. So we work on discussion of that. But as women also age, incontinence tends to become a bigger issue as well. And it can be just, I dribble a little right after I pee. Mm-hmm. Or it can be every time I sneeze, I cough, I laugh, I leak, right? And so incontinence is also a combination of a muscle weakness, but it's also an integrity issue, which occurs over time with loss of estrogens.
Correct.
And this is definitely moving into a menopausal conversation, but it's amazing what a little direct application of estriol is the one that Dr. Wallace and I like to utilize in this situation to the vaginal region can do for the dryness, the incontinence,
tissue integrity,
sexual
satisfaction
and sensation. Yeah. I mean, a lot of women, you know, a big part of what we'll lose is the libido as we age. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time we lose libido because sex is so uncomfortable that the last thing we want to do is experience pain. Mm-hmm. Right?
I agree.
So that goes along with it as well.
And so I think I've had two people with that and I'm like, well, here's some Kegel balls. So there's a great YouTube video with a lady that does Kegels and she has a Kegel ball. And so it helps obviously the sphincter and some of the pelvic floor muscles try to gain some obviously strength. So these are the things. And then also trying to find a very good PT that specializes in incontinence because they can actually help on out. And then And then the place that we work at in California, they actually have a device that will actually help assist as well. So there's all kinds of things you can do. So, okay. The other one is breast swelling, brain fog, insomnia. So obviously, like Dr. Sundermeyer said, with the breast swelling, it could be an increase in estrogens in your body's just not able to remove those estrogens as quickly as possible.
But even breasts can become more lumpy and bumpy or more fibrous at this time as well because of this excess estrogen with the without progesterone balance. And so, you know, it can be swelling, it can be tenderness, it could be I have some tender spots. Mm-hmm. It can have like, you feel like you're more lumpy. And so all of those get affected with the changes in hormones.
Mm-hmm. So slow coffee too.
And chocolate. Don't forget about chocolate, ladies.
Well, I do have my females, if they have that, put a little bit of like one drop of iodine on their breasts and then just kind of rub it in a little bit. Because along with the thyroid, the breast tissue is the largest user of iodine.
Which a lot of people don't know about actually. Yeah.
Correct. And so I had one lady, it was funny. She's like, so I told her to do it. So we explained everything in the office. And then obviously it's like, they go out and they probably think it's something else, but she's like, I didn't do it because I thought I had to rub my whole breast, you know, and I don't like to do it because I wear clothes. And I'm like, no, it's like, just go borrow an old black shirt from your husband. She is a very proper old Italian lady, you know, like a Sophia Loren. So she's very good looking. Like, I don't want to, no, I can't do that. It's going to ruin my clothes. And like, no, it's just a drop.
Yeah. So the one drop is actually nice. It probably takes up like an inch-ish of space.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's really small a length of time and it dries fairly quickly. So if you're doing this in your shower regimen, and it's all, you know, we're very dose dependent. So that's something that you can speak with a practitioner about of how much to use, but you know, you put your lotion on while you're not wearing clothes and you let it sit in a minute as you're, you know, putting your makeup on or you've brushed your teeth, you just let that iodine drop dry for, you know, a couple minutes and then it won't rub off on your white bras, your white shirts or anything, which is always appreciative. And the goal is obviously absorption. So over time, it's going to absorb even more.
Correct. And so brain fog, forgetfulness, obviously that can be estrogen as well. So as females go through perimenopause, they can have high, but also low. And so those things affect, obviously, brain health as well. So all kinds of studies. And when we go to conferences, it's like it's a huge thing in regards to brain health and estrogen and how important it is to maintain the integrity of neuronal development. And
well, and just the receptors that are not being filled in our brain. None of us realize that there are estrogen receptors in our brain. And so in our neurons, you know, they have that connectivity there. And when we're now becoming more forgetful, or we're feeling foggy, or we're feeling just, you know, like our brains aren't working, it can be that that estrogen is lacking there and it's trying to prioritize where it needs to be just because there's not enough to go around anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think the top, probably the top three, energy, weight gain, and insomnia. I mean, it's like if you had, it's like that's all you promoted upon your clinic. For females, you'd have a line around the block. So,
well, and that's all hormones, isn't it? Thyroid, adrenal, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And yeah. And that's kind of the big thing that tends to be the biggest issue as women move into their late 30s, early 40s, and through their 40s, is that those tend to be the issues that are arising most. I can't lose weight. I have no energy, and you know, well, for me, I can't sleep. So. Mm-hmm. You know, which is huge.
Correct. And so those are the things, and again, hormones are a huge major influencer, but they still have to go back to the foundation. So Dr. Sundermeyer and I will stress that all the time. It's like you come in hormone deficient, you have to work the foundational stuff, or otherwise all the fantastic things that we do peptide-wise and supplement-wise and everything else is not going to work until we get the foundational component right. So then obviously low libido, anxiety, depression, nervousness.
Right.
So and all those things can be incorporated.
Well, in anxiety and depression, a big thing that I see a lot with women in their mid-40s is this is the time in which they become anxious. They've never been anxious before in their life. They might have had a little insomnia before their menstrual cycle started in that PMS phase, but this is the time when women are actually becoming truly anxious. They're having full-blown anxiety. They're starting to get anxiety attacks. They don't know what's wrong with them. They'll go to the doctors. They'll see neurologists. Their MRIs are fine. Their imaging is fine. But no one is considering that estrogen progesterone balance. And so when progesterone levels drop, anxiety can become more prevalent. Correct. Nervousness can be more prevalent as well. And so, you know, again, it goes back to a Band-Aid symptom of, you know, effects are... There's a fantastic website from an Ivy League college, you know, because, you know, you're looking like, how do you set up a format of a conversation on a radio show about perimenopause? And so, you know, you do some research before. Mm-hmm. I'm reading through it. And, you know, a lot of it is like, oh, well, symptom support. And it's like Effexor, Prozac, Paxils. And it's like a lot of it is, why can't I just give a person... you know, progesterone. Why can't I give a person estrogen? Why can't I just give them what the real issue is versus just, this is something that now you're going to need forever. They use blood pressure medications to decrease the severity of the hot flash sometimes because that's their ammunition. And that's not truly the issue over time, you know? And so now you're just reliant.
Yeah. Well, I think the stigma is on hormones. Again, you go to your primary care doctor, they have the stigma that as soon as you go ahead and you have perimenopause or menopause, that hormones are not needed, or you know, if you only do them for a certain amount of time, and then you should be okay. And I think that's the stigma, and the studies don't show that. It's like we went to a fascinating one in regards to cancer and hormones.
Correct.
And the gentleman had all the research that even inducing an oral and synthetic, that the risk was extremely low in regards to having a cancer caused by the hormone.
Correct.
And so when patients come in and see us, it's like we really have to work with them to feel confident that this is what's, you know, this is what's out there. These are the studies that are out there. So yes, you know, in regards to a cancer, is it caused by estrogen? Probably not. You know, estrogens are probably the fuel for it, but also estrogen will save you from a heart attack.
Correct.
No. So you're going to
change you from hypertension.
Hypertension and osteoporosis. And mm-hmm. so those are the things that when we look at the totality of hormones, how life enhancement is, because we want our clients to not have to worry about having a hip replacement if we catch right. them early enough, mm-hmm. you know, pain-wise, if we catch them early enough, you know, forgetfulness, dementia, Alzheimer's, if we go ahead and start some of these regimens and right. they're happier and healthier, mm-hmm. and we work with the whole totality of things. And so I think with Dr. Sundermeyer in regards to the anxiousness, I think with females, you know, men are the same. I'm vibrant, I'm vital, I feel fantastic mm-hmm. as a female. I like having sex. I feel like I'm social and outgoing, and then hormones start to go and it's like, I'm not vital anymore. And then I just don't feel good. And I get depressed because I look at myself and it's like, no, I used to be this 25-year-old go-getter mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And now it's like, I'm not. And so our goal is to make you feel, again, just good, period.
Right. Well, and I think it's also important to realize that anxiety and depression in both men and women can be attributed to hormones.
Yeah.
And the lack of, for men, testosterone, but also the imbalance of estrogen and progesterone for women, because unlike men, we have two big primary hormones.
Correct.
I mean, we definitely, estrogen is our primary hormone as a female, but without progesterone, we can be very intense creatures. You know, we can have anger outbursts. We can be irritable. We can be short to anger and quick tempered and have outbursts where we're just like, that's not me. What's wrong with me? What just happened to me? And that's not myself. And more women are finding themselves in that severity of mood dysregulation more. And we're even calling it premenstrual dysmorphic disorder, where the mood is the biggest issue.
Yeah.
And so that's really important to be aware of.
Yeah. And then once you get started down the path of SSRIs, they decrease climax, they decrease sensibility, they decrease togetherness, they don't make you as sexual, those types mm-hmm. of things. So if you're having difficulty having an orgasm and those types of things, it's like we have to look at your medication list and try to help one out, try to get off those.
Correct.
And
so that definitely affects sex drive big time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. All right. So
Last but not least is headaches and migraines. I want to make sure we talk about this one because this is one of those left field statements. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important that women realize that exacerbation and headaches and migraines can be attributed to estrogen and estrogen excess as well. So, mm-hmm. you know, knowing that there are left field symptoms like joint pain, is also important to be aware of because that can also be an estrogen deficiency symptom.
Correct, exactly. So
little things that are important to speak with someone that is a trained practitioner in naturopathic medicine or in functional medicine that is truly does hormones is kind of the key that's going to ask you all these questions.
Correct. And in our society that we have all these xenoestrogens. And so, you know, I've had, you know, patients, I've had migraines since I was, you know, little. And it's like, well, describe your menses all the way back when you first started, if they obviously remember. And then Dr. Mm-hmm. Sundermeyer obviously has good trackers. And so it's weird to believe, you know, men are probably the same, but have females that do not track their menses. And so you have to track it either on apps or on a calendar.
Well, and I have my favorite app as always, and that's the one I have a lot of my patients on, which is, and I have no affiliation, but the Woman Log app. It's been the app that I've been using forever. I think it's the easiest. I think it's the simplest to figure out where you are, but also this is the easiest way to track cyclical changes. Like, oh, I'm feeling like I'm crazy today. Let me put it in my app. It takes 2 seconds to do that. Mm-hmm. Or I feel like I'm hormonally, like I have insomnia the last 3 nights. Let me add that to my app because again, insomnia is a direct sign of progesterone issues. Mm-hmm. And deficiency in progesterone. And the second you add some progesterone into a woman's life, it can be life-changing. And, you know, the biggest issue with progesterone is it's sometimes available in weaker, not always the best forms over the counter.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody is taking it correctly. And so, you know, I have had a woman who was taking it for such a length of time her dose was crazy, but she took it every single day through the day. And I was like, well, you're making yourself more tired because too much progesterone can make you fatigued. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important to know. And too much progesterone can actually make you feel like you want to nap all day long too.
Correct.
So, you know, make sure you're taking it properly, which is really important. And, you know, that, and then proceed accordingly. And, you know, you can get almost anything off the internet and over the counter sometimes, but if you don't have an understanding of where your starting place is, correct, then what if you don't need progesterone at all and you need to get rid of your estrogens, right?
Exactly. So
the joys I'd say right now is that, you know, perimenopause is a time of you feel like you're crazy and it's all in your head, and it's not. And we want to make sure that women are aware that this is a time when this is a modern day movement of into menopause. This is a, I have been in stress my whole life. I'm not eating as well as I should. I don't sleep like I should. And, you know, I've taken myself a little bit, I've taken some advantage of myself.
Yeah.
So that there is help. There is a way to get you better sleep. Mm-hmm. Obviously better sleep also helps you manage your stress a little bit more effectively. Mm-hmm. It helps with better healing. It helps with better growth hormone release. And so if you're not sleeping, you're not going to lose weight. Your growth hormone is going to help with healing. And obviously the more stress you'll be under because your body is now compensating for the fact that you haven't slept.
Mm-hmm. Right? So that's what we want to do here at Infusion Health, mm-hmm, hashtag integrativetelemedicine.com.
Hashtag.
Exactly. So we want to make you feel fantastic. So, you know, we'd love to have you on as clients, especially as, like I said, if you're going through the normal array of physicians that just kind of give you the hodgepodge stuff.
Correct.
In that regards, it's like we can definitely, I think, assist. It's like most people that really follow do well.
Absolutely. Don't forget stress management. You know, we always talk to people that stress management is so important. Without it, you know, that a lot of what we do can't do. So, you know, it's always a 50-50 story. I give you the tools, but you have to take the tools and run.
Yep.
Right? So if you do have any questions about what we've talked about today, like we said, this is a pre-recording. But you can email us at info@infusionhealth.com. I do prefer that you Instagram us because that's easily accessed by Dr. Mm-hmm. Wallace and myself, Dr. Yeah. Sundermeyer. Our Instagram name is infusion_health. Mm-hmm. And there you can private message us and obviously follow us on Instagram to get information and tips, sales, and fun advice that we have for you, but just also kind of see what we're up to.
Exactly. And so in regards to this podcast, it's like, I know one of the things we talk about nutrition. So if you'd like to go ahead and private message us and say, what things do we possibly go ahead and do, like the three supplements that we think are probably the best to go ahead and mm-hmm. take, it's like you can private message us or on Instagram and say, hey, I'm having these things. What are the three things I can do?
Correct. And so, we have them available for you on our full script account, which we can get you access to as well. Exactly. So we have lots of options for the public, and ideally, like we said, once that integrative telemedicine website comes on board, the link to full script will also be on there. So you can easily access our catalog and we can get you feeling more like yourself and feeling fantastic all over again. Not that we all want to be 20 again, but you know, at least the mood and emotions of 20, although those are a little off the ball.
I think my cutoff is probably like 35.
35.
More wise.
More like 35.
You've been through the whatever crap you've been through, and 35 is fantastic.
I love it. Join us for our next show where we'll be grilling Dr. Wallace on testosterone therapy for men and all the things
Andropause
that can be attributed to testosterone deficiency in men. I'm actually really excited about this because I think it's so undertreated, but also just younger men that are dealing with low testosterone, and how do you make sure you don't affect their fertility levels? That's a huge thing.
Yep.
We really appreciate you guys listening in, and we hope you have a fantastic rest of your week and weekend.
We are Infusion Health.
Bye, everyone. You've been listening to the Life Enhancement Medicine Hour with Dr. Wallace and Dr. Sundermeyer, bringing the power of health to your listening ears. You can learn more by visiting infusionhealth.org. That's infusionhealth.org. Follow them on social media and join the movement to better health.
Wait, are you sure it's on?
Positive.
Wow, it's really quiet.
Yeah, that's Daikin all right. And it does it all with less energy than your old system.
HVAC sure has come a long way.
Inverter technology from Daikin uses 30% less energy than traditional non-inverter systems. So while your home is cooling, your energy bill gets even cooler. Daikin. Air intelligence.
Contact ACS Air at 520-200-8207 for a free at-home estimate. License number 111230.
Veterans proudly serve our nation, fighting for the freedoms we all enjoy. But that valor comes with a price. Problem gambling affects veterans up to 4 times the national average. 4 times. But there is help. The Arizona Division of Problem Gambling offers resources and expert counseling to help veterans win their battles with problem gambling. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342. Put yourself out of harm's way.